Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. This section of Paul's letter, Paul is defending himself and his ministry because of the false apostles who are attempting to draw the Thessalonican Christians away from Paul and away from the true gospel. So verse 1 of chapter 2 reads, "You know," and I mentioned the words "you know" in the last section. He's reminding these people, "You know, because you were with us and we were with you in the beginning days." So he says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure." Now, why would Paul say this? He was saying it because of the pressure these false apostles were putting on these people to leave the gospel that Paul preached. And the false apostles probably had some success. And in that sense, some people would view Paul's visit to Thessalonica as a failure because of some people departing from the true gospel. But Paul says, listen, guys, this visit to us, to you guys in the first place, was not a failure. Verse 2, "We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition." Now, these people understood and knew the problems that Paul and his company had in Philippi. That was the town that Paul and his friends just left prior to coming to Thessalonica. They were kicked out of the city of Philippi, and basically there was a riot. Now they come to Thessalonica and preach the gospel here. Well, those in Thessalonica, they knew all about what happened in Philippi. But despite the insults, the suffering, Paul says he dared to preach the gospel. The word "dare" here is a very good word. Most of us would be afraid, wimp out when it comes to preaching the gospel in this kind of setting. But not Paul, because he dared to preach no matter what the circumstance. Verse 3, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives." Now, he's appealing. Paul is making an appeal to the believers in Thessalonica. And this appeal, he says, is not based on error. It's not based on anything wrong that he said, and it's not based on false motives. Both of those counts could be said about the false apostles. They taught in error, and they had false motives. So in one way, Paul is comparing himself to these false apostles. "Nor are we trying to trick you." Again, this is in his defense in regard to the false apostles who are basically saying this is what Paul is doing. He has false motives. He is tricking you. He's speaking in error. Paul is refuting these arguments. Verse 4, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." Entrusted is an important word. God has placed the gospel into Paul's hands. God trusts Paul that he will handle the gospel as it should be handled, that he will preach the gospel for proper and righteous reasons, not for any kind of gain and for his own personal, on his own personal account. Many people today preach the gospel for wrong reasons. They want to be famous, or probably they didn't start out that way, but Once you gain an audience, the temptation is to move away from pure motives and to preach for impure motives like fame and financial remuneration. Not so with Paul. He goes on to say, we are not trying to please men, but God. Now, this is reminiscent of Galatians chapter 1. He says the same thing. Paul is not, he's not preaching the gospel to please men. That should be pretty obvious with all the problems he goes through in the process of preaching the gospel. He says, I'm not doing this to please men, but I'm doing it to please God. We should understand something here. Paul is not being what we would call a Lone Ranger Christian. It's just me and Jesus. No way would Paul even think in these terms. He is not pleasing men. He is pleasing God in order that he could serve men. Paul did not please men, but he did serve men. By pleasing God, he had the capability with pure motives to serve men. And we have to get this into our hearts and minds, because too many people I've seen in the past say, I'm not doing this to please men. What they're really saying is, I'm not doing this to serve men. They should be serving men. We should be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and servants to others. We don't please them, and that means we speak the truth when it comes to serving. It means we don't preach a gospel that says believe only and leave out the repentance part. We speak the truth in love as we serve. And then Paul says, who tests our hearts? He says, God tests our hearts. The gospel that was once preached, that some people once preached, that come to Jesus, get saved, and live happily ever after, is not the biblical gospel. The biblical gospel is come to Jesus in faith, get saved, so God can test your faith. If we pass the test, Peter talks about this in 1 Peter, then our faith, our trust in Jesus, will be more secure and we'll be ready for the next test. We just don't get one test here. Our life as Christians are an accumulation of one test after another. That's part of the gospel message that people need to hear. It's not come to Jesus and live happily ever after. So Paul talks about tests. Verse 5, you know we never use flattery like the false apostles, nor did we put on a mask, that means hypocrisy, they weren't hypocrites, to cover our greed. See, greed is what the false apostles were into preaching the gospel for. They were accusing Paul of being greedy. Paul was not greedy. God is our witness, Paul says. And then verse 6, we were not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. And this is important, because if a preacher of the gospel is looking for praise from men, from those to whom he is preaching, then he's not going to preach the whole truth. He will leave out the tough parts. But if you rather please God than man, you will speak the whole gospel. You will speak the hard parts of the gospel. Paul goes on to say, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. What he was saying here, we could have asked for some kind of financial remuneration, but they didn't. In verse 7, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. Verse 8 says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very lives. Now, it's important to know that what Paul is saying, the reason why he didn't ask for money is because he really was like a mother. A mother gives birth to a child. She changes the diaper. She feeds. She has sleepless nights. She helps the child grow up into adulthood. And as teenagers, the child may give the mother all sorts of major headaches and problems. But you know, that's the work a mother and also a father must do in raising their children. And the mother doesn't expect to be paid for that. That's what Paul is saying. I am like a mother to you guys. I don't expect to be paid. It's my delight as you guys are newborn babies to care for you. It's a delight for a mother to hold her baby in her arms and feed her baby, even if it is 3 o'clock in the morning. This is something that pastors today need to understand. This is their job, their role as being a pastor. But in our world today, many pastors do not see this kind of caring as part of their job. They prefer to preach behind the pulpit because, well, that's more glamorous. Changing babies' diapers isn't all that glamorous. Paul goes on to say, because you had become so dear to us, surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardships. We worked night and day, just like a mother works night and day for her baby. So Paul worked night and day for these in order to be of no burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Now, in the last verse, I missed the point. Paul said he didn't just share the gospel with these people. He shared his very life. Again, this is the role of a Christian leader, of an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And again, this is not, for the most part, what a Christian pastor is today. A Christian pastor today is more of a pulpit person who shares the word of the Lord, if it is the word of the Lord. Sharing one's life these days is not really seen much in the life of a pastor. Matter of fact, I grew up in the Free Methodist Church, and they moved their pastors every 3 to 5 years so the pastors would not get too familiar with the people, and especially that the people would not get too familiar with the pastors. That is not New Testament thinking. Familiarity, when it comes to sharing of lives between pastor and people, is part of being a pastor. Without the sharing of life, without the sharing of a life to your people, the preaching of the word will not have the impact it's supposed to have. First, we'll do the rest of this chapter in the next section.